Yeah. What was that?
Oh, I don't know. It's the sounds you make when you're getting ready to do your radio voice.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Are we going?
Yeah.
Dan Carlin is the expat. Fernando Farias is the local. BA Cast, the Buenos Aires podcast.
Episode 19, March 3rd, 2011. The Chamuyo today will have TV host Aaron Carota, or Adventure Aaron, of the Alive show with some members of his crew.
Aaron survived cancer and set out on a world trip with a bucket list of stuff to do in every country he visits. And he's been to a lot of them. And we introduced him to some fundamental things in Argentina that, by the way, was not touched by BA Cast yet.
Fernet.
For example.
That's what we're going to be dealing with on today's show.
Yeah. We went to Café Gijón with Aaron, which is one of Fernando's preferred places in Buenos Aires.
And you're going
to
lie that you don't liked it.
It was meh.
You're so used to posh places.
It was meh. I will say that the service was surprisingly good, actually.
And the food was fantastic.
The food was
And the ambiance was
actually,
great.
Actually, you know what was great was the calamari, the rabas.
And the
rabas were fantastic.
And the schnitzel?
Was good.
Milanesa?
Look, you can't really
I'm not doing an
amazing schnitzel. I don't know how you do an amazing. How's that even possible?
What is the problem with doing an amazing? What's
no, what I'm saying is it's not difficult to do an amazing schnitzel. Everyone can do an amazing schnitzel. I cooked some last night. They were amazing.
No, I don't agree. I mean, every schnitzel, every milanesa is different. Some people, some places, some mothers who are better at making milanesas than others.
Some mothers are better than others. Sounds funny.
Well, you know what I mean. I mean, maybe it's not the correct grammar, but you know what I mean. It may be simple, but it's not.
After introducing the Kavanaugh building on episode 16, the Eternautas audio guides are back with gossip about that architectural landmark of BA.
And the school year has just begun, and we have things and words related to school in Argentina. And also, at the end, we have some important announcements to make.
Oh my God, what?
You know that.
Don't make me wait.
Well, you can. This is a podcast.
What are we announcing?
This is a podcast. You can fast forward and find out the.
That's true.
So, well, if you can wait.
I'm predicting a sound effect at this point.
Okay, and sign off next week. Well, before we tell you what's on next week, we have to announce.
If you want to find out, you're going to have to fast forward for real or listen to the whole show.
The expats of Buenos Aires have their say. This is the Expat Chat.
Shalom, makore, kovim li Gilad. Como están todos? How's everybody doing? My name is Gilad Rinkevich. I'm originally from Israel. I live in the States for a while as well. I've been in Buenos Aires for a couple of years now. I was born to Argentine parents. My last holiday season here, I was celebrating with some of my friends. I feel like I got pretty drunk, and I'm Jewish, so I'd never really celebrated Christmas before. And I got really wasted and just started screaming, Fiesta Cristiana! Fiesta Cristiana!
Now, what about the Jewish community here and in the States and in Israel? What are your experiences between
my experience
those two?
In general, I know in Israel, it's like super, super easy to be Jewish because all the national holidays are national holidays.
Everybody's
all the
Jewish.
Holidays. Yeah, exactly.
Just so, like New York.
Exactly. You don't have to go out of your way to celebrate any holiday because you get time off school. Everybody around you is focused on that. In the States, especially in Virginia, I wasn't that big of a Jewish community. I'm sure whatever you seek, though, you can find. You know, I've been to see her a couple of times in Virginia. Here, though, in Buenos Aires, on the other hand, there's a huge Jewish community.
Uh-huh.
I've been invited to so many people's houses. One day here, I'm from Israel. They're like,
right.
Oh, you have to come to my place for this holiday, my
right.
place for that holiday.
Uh-huh.
And it's hard to say no sometimes. They know I'm here. They know my parents don't live here, so they always try to be friendly, you know.
This podcast is brought to you by Anuva Wines, anuvawines.com.
Chamulleros chamullando. Ahora, chamullamos.
All right, so now if you want to try Fernet by itself, you can certainly do that. But it is a very strong liqueur. It's stronger than vodka. It's about 90 proof or 95 proof, so it's like 45% alcohol. Okay, it's got a very licorice-y, medicinal sort of flavor to it.
Sambuca?
And it is, it's more, no, it's different than Zambuca. Zambuca's sweeter. Zambuca's sweeter. This is more bitter. This is very bitter. Five parts Coke to one part Fernet. Again, this is a medicinal digestif, okay? So it's a liqueur, all right?
Mm-hmm. Como limoncello, más o menos.
Oh, yeah, okay. Más o menos.
But a lot bitter.
This tastes exactly like the Italian tuaca.
The tuaca.
Tuaca, like
exactly
Star Wars character.
The tuaca lemon drops, or the, what they would put in the...
Did you actually say tuaca?
She said Chewbacca. She didn't say Chewbacca.
Ah, okay. Wait, that's
I'm confused.
That's what I understood, yeah.
Did you try it, Kelly? What do you think?
So it's just like Tuaca. It's
bitter, but you put it with the Coke so that it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's great is that it's something, you know, a lot of Americans don't like it, but when you put it with Coke,
sorry,
if you mix
a lot of Americans hate it.
A lot of Americans hate it. I personally love it. Yeah. I personally love it.
Well, it's because Americans love to feel fat. You guys know how to do it. I mean, this would be perfect after a nice steak. Right after you eat a steak, mashed potatoes, a little asparagus. You won't feel full. That's all I'm saying. You won't. I mean, this is...
This is actually a getting drunk drink here. This is if you go out to the bars, mm-hmm. you have like 10 of those if you're getting drunk. So this is super Argentine.
A combination of Coke and Fernet because the drink comes from Italy. And Italians do drink it, but just drink
they
it
drink
a shot.
In a digestif glass, which is a little shot glass, but it's usually elevated as if it were a tiny wine glass.
And when you're in Italy and you go to the bar and order a Fernet that everybody knows in Italy with Coke, you need to say, say Argentino.
In Argentina, they drink it with Coca-Cola and Fernet.
Yeah, and it has to be Branca, the brand.
Branca. Fernet Branca, because they make Fernet like 16 different kinds. Branca is like, if you're in Argentina and you bring like Fernet, what are the other kinds?
Ramazzotti.
You bring Ramazzotti to a party, and they're like...
Yeah, it's like a monopoly.
It's like bringing a bottle of Charles Shaw, Tubac Chuck. Bring a bottle of Tubac Chuck to a dinner party, like, hey, I brought some wine, and they're like, I'll feed that to my dog.
Yeah, well, it's the same with any other brand of Fernet that is not brand.
Fernet, come on, try now. And don't tell me you don't like it. But it smells like bug killer. Don't you be so disrespectful. Fernet, I just brought you some.
Are you sure that is Branca?
Oh no no, it's Ramazzotti. I know that it's the same after finishing the seventh glass.
It's Branca with Coke, not with Pepsi.
Yeah,
the mixture
really,
doesn't work.
See, that's what I'm saying. They're so purist here. They're so like, this is how we do it. Not over there, even a little bit. Not even like Coke Zero. When I first started telling her, like, I don't need the sugar. I don't need the sugar in the Coke. Can you have Diet Coke? Can I have Coke Zero?
She's like, Coca Light.
Paris. You know what I mean?
It's like very French.
It's very French.
They have to be so like exact. No, it has to be with Coke.
Here in Argentina only.
Right.
Talking about Argentina. You can't have Fernet Ramazzotti. First of all, you have to have Fernet Branca.
Branca.
Then you have to have it only with the
Coke.
Red label Coke.
Right.
Not Coca Light, not Diet Coke, not Coke Zero, not Pepsi.
How you liked it?
Excellent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Could you drink like five glasses of it?
Like if you were at a party, could you do it as a party drink?
No, I would stare it the same way I do Tuaca. I would just do it one shot. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I could drink it.
How much is the Fernet consumed in Argentina per year?
Oh, like, I don't know. I don't know.
That's a good question, though.
Hey, this is another advantage of doing a podcast that I can just insert this, do my homework, and bring you this information that we weren't able to respond on that day. According to Planeta Joy website, in 2009, 15 million liters were consumed of Fernet of all brands in Argentina nationwide, 30% of that only in the province of Córdoba.
Córdoba province is like one of the biggest provinces of the country. They're crazy about it, but they're completely crazy. They don't drink anything but Fernet. At the supermarket,
it's like a wall.
It's like a supermarket. Wall of
one
freaks.
Product.
The it's like a wall product. Of
yeah.
Of
at the supermarket, you have to ask the security guard for the Fernet.
Well, that's just
they don't keep
situation.
Them in the open alley because they steal them. They're so valuable, Fernet in Cordoba. Not everybody. But it happens because it's so valuable.
Is this like Blue Label Johnny Walker? I mean, how much does this cost to buy?
No.
Blue
no,
Label Johnny Walker? No, are you fucking kidding
40
me?
40 pesos. $10.
Jesus,
$10
this is a drink
bottle.
Of the people.
BA Cast. BA Cast. The Buenos Aires Podcast. Podcast. And now, the audio guides of Eternauta's cultural tours.
Some cabinet gossip. On a previous podcast, we spoke about the architecture of the Cavana building. But there is an anecdote which is as legendary as the building itself, featuring the Anchorenas, who lived in what is now San Martin Palace, with 150 servants, and the Cavanas, wealthy but not patrician. Maria Mercedes Castellanos de Anchorena had commissioned his son, Aaron, with the task of buying the plot of land located next to the Plaza Hotel in front of the Basilica del Santísimo Sacramento. But Aaron, a dandy of his time and addicted to horse racing, lost that fortune in the Palermo race course. Desperate, he asked his mistress, Corina Cavanagh, for advice, who, being a social rival of Mercedes de Anchorena, eased his mind and told him that she would think of a solution. She immediately bought the plot and made it very clear to her architects that the project should include a tower that would block the view of the basilica from the palace where Mercedes Anchorena lived, located on the other side of the square. No matter how fascinating these legends are, it is our duty to point out that Mercedes passed away in 1920 and the Cavana project came later. It is even likely that both women never met. Location: the Cavana building, the passage, the San Martin Palace, the Plaza Hotel can be all found in Plaza San Martin at the very end of Florida Street.
For more info on Eternauta's cultural tours of BA, go to eternautas.com.
Morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
Okay, as usual, March is the equivalent of your September. That's when the school year kicks off in the Northern Hemisphere, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, it is.
And what's the equivalent of the vacaciones de invierno? Would be the
winter vacation would be Christmas vacation there.
You get 2 weeks as well?
Yep.
Ring, ring, goes the bell.
We have a list of things and words and stuff of escuela. Sobre todo, escuela primaria.
Oh, primary school.
Yeah, grammar school, as you call it.
Grammar school? No, elementary school. Elementary grammar school in England.
Elementary school? Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Elementary school in the U.S., how many years is?
Five, usually. Well, depending on if you count kindergarten.
No, without kindergarten.
Yeah, so first through fifth, usually. Maybe okay. First through sixth, depending. And then middle school or junior high is 6 through 8 or 7 through 9, usually. And then high school is 9 through 12, usually.
Well, in here is traditionally seven grades. Primero a séptimo grado.
Drop the coin right into the slot.
This is a word that grammar or elementary school students use for the teacher. No? You use miss. You say miss.
Miss, whatever. Mrs., Mr., or Ms.
Ms. for
it was
the
always
teacher.
Confusing because we have... You guys have two.
Señora y señorita.
Señora y señorita. And we have three.
Yeah, Miss, Mrs., and Ms.
Ms.,
which
yeah.
Which is a gender thing. It's now for the women who don't want to inform they are single.
If they're married or not.
Or
Ms.
Or not.
Is...
It's a gender equality thing. I noticed that in England. They use that a lot. And they corrected you if you would say Mrs. Smith. No. Oh, sorry, Miss Smith. No, it's
no, Ms.
Ms. Smith.
Ms.
In here we have señora y señorita.
Teacher. And I really like that, by the way, because señora is like... The female version of señor, and then señorita is little Mrs.
Mrs. No matter the marital status, señorita is used by elementary school students to address their teacher. That's how
regardless.
They,
regardless of if the woman is married or not.
That's good. I like that.
Señorita, señorita,
the teacher doesn't
senior.
Have to decide.
Señor.
Señor. And then boletín, the grade book signed by the parents, which would also be like a boletín, would also be like an announcement board if you were to walk into a normal place and they would say...
That's how you call it?
Ahí en el boletín.
But that, is that the book that your teachers give you to take to your parents to be signed?
No, that's your report card.
Okay. Well, that's what we call boletín.
Recreo is recess. Yes, mm-hmm. Same thing.
Same thing. And, well, this is so typical, and any Argentine would associate this with their elementary school years. Every morning, at least in state-run schools, you start the day, sometimes in the early mornings of winter, freezing cold, with this tune. High in the sky, a warrior eagle. Well, many of us felt like that.
Oh this my god, I feel like I'm in school right now.
Do you have a
there's all sorts of controversies over the what do you call it? The Pledge of Allegiance. When I was a kid in elementary school, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Shit, I don't remember the rest of it. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible.
What if you're an atheist?
With liberty and justice for all. Exactly. And that was the controversy.
But do you sing that song or do you recite every single day?
It's recited every morning.
Every morning.
It was. I don't think so in public school anymore. And then I went to private school, and in private school, they didn't make you do any of that stuff. But if you went to religious school, obviously, they'd make you do different stuff.
Just like Aurora, which is the tune you have just heard. Also, Sarmiento.
Who was he?
Well, he was a president in the 1870s, but he's credited with creating the educational system of Argentina. And he even has his own song.
Listen
to this.
The French national anthem.
And when you're a kid, you are taught to worship this guy. When you begin reading a couple of history books, you become a little more critical regarding his attitudes toward the natives and the gauchos. But well, when you're a kid, it's all about Sarmiento. You fought for the country
this
with your sword.
Sounds so fascist.
Practically all of the marches sound a little fascist.
Yeah, they kind of are. I mean, it's kind of the definition, isn't it?
This celebration of nationalism, it always borders on...
Yeah.
I mean, if you take that a couple of degrees further...
I felt that way a lot during the pep rallies. You know what pep rally is?
No.
Pep rally is like before a big sporting event that your school does. So before a big football game or before a big basketball game, typically football, American football, obviously. You have a pep rally, and that's when all the cheerleaders come out and the band comes out. And
they dance like in high school musical.
The president of the school gets up, and then the president of the student body gets up, and we're going to kick some ass. We're going to kick, Jesuits' ass. We're going to kick Central's ass this weekend.
They encourage people to be aggressive towards your rivals.
Super aggressive. Up in the morning
and out to school. Finally, this is the most important part, and it's related to Sarmiento. In state-run schools, guardapolvos. Do you know what they are? The white coats?
The dust garters.
Yeah, the white coats that small children wear that make them look like small doctors to foreigners. That's an invention of Sarmiento to disguise social differences for public school students.
Wow.
So all of the people, all of the children would...
Oh, right. They wear what we would call smocks, paint smocks.
Do you have anything similar to guardapolvos?
Yeah, for painting.
But not for going to school, not for going to public school.
Well, public schools are not allowed to use uniforms, which is kind of ironic because, uniforms actually do in a
uniformize.
Very, yeah, they promote equality.
Exactly.
In
that's
a very
that's
direct
what the guardapolvo
way.
Is about.
But at the same time, there's obviously an argument to be made that says, if you want to be an individual, though, and express yourself and maintain your own identity, you should be able to dress how you want.
B-A-A-Cast. Okay, and sign off next week. Well, before we tell you what's on next week, we have to announce some stuff.
After almost 6 months on the air, BA Cast is reaching the end of season one.
This March, we'll mark that end with a special program on the 35th anniversary of the coup d'etat that put in power the military junta, an event that came to symbolize what's known in the English-speaking world as the Dirty War.
But then we'll come back with season two in June. And don't worry, every week there will be content uploaded for your listening pleasure.
And next week we're going to have episode 20, the final full episode in season one of BA Cast.
But don't forget the special on the Dirty War that's coming out on March 24th. So here is the Chow tune for today.
Next Monday and Tuesday are Carnival holidays. You know, when my parents were little, Carnival was huge in Buenos Aires, not as crazy as Rio, but it was a really popular celebration that was present across the city with dances and parades.
Now with the reinstatement of non-working days for Carnival, they're trying to bring that back to life.
So this is Carnaval Toda la Vida, that would be Carnival all life long.
Yeah.
This is by the Grammy-winning band Los Fabulosos Cadillacs.
Ciao.
Hasta luego.